Well, I didn't see it coming. I can honestly tell you I didn't see it coming. And even though the fellas with the neutral zone just walked out, sure enough, the Predators losing Game 7. I didn't see that coming either, but you know what? I'm okay about it. And you know what? We're not going to talk about it, but actually, I can go almost 10 whole minutes. I can go almost 10 whole minutes and not even think about it. So again, I'm feeling so much better. But really and truly, what I didn't see coming is if I was to tell you that not only does Webb Simpson win the Players' Championship, what I really didn't see coming is he makes a double bogey on the last hole to win by four. But that's exactly what happened at the Players' Championship, and you're going to get to hear a lot more about it. Something else I didn't see coming. All of a sudden, the Supreme Court says, hey, sports betting is great. That's fantastic. And we have a state right here in the South that is well-positioned to combine gambling and golf, and I'm referring to the state of Mississippi. And so we're going to have Craig Ray, who's the director of tourism from the state of Mississippi, and he's going to be joining us later in the show to see just how this might possibly positively affect the state of Mississippi. Now, something else I didn't see coming, a very, very disturbing and horrible story comes about as it relates to your U.S. Open champion, your 2009 U.S. Open champion, Lucas Glover. There's a sort of a domestic issue that's happened, and sadly and unfortunately, it involves his wife. His wife is who did the domestic abuse, and that is a terrible, terrible story. I promise you, I did not see that one coming. But one thing I did see coming, a young Dawson Armstrong, who just now completed his schooling out at Lipscomb, just recently turned pro, and shot at 22 under, I believe, maybe in his first tournament as a professional, and now gets a big check. And get ready, ladies and gentlemen, because he's going to play next week's Web.com event here in Nashville at Nashville Golf and Athletic. And for that as well, we're also going to be joined later in the show by Brian Jorgensen. He is the head pro at Nashville Golf and Athletic. He's going to be joining us later. And folks, if you want to be a part of the show, all you have to do is give us a call at 615-737-1045. That's 615-737-1045. And also, as always, thank you so much to Ryan A. Mudd. I know that he's so happy because also starting tomorrow is the Byron Nelson that in Ryan A. Mudd's eyes is the fifth major. But anyhow, I'm Barney Allery. I'm going to be your host today. And so I am the head golf instructor at the Old Hickory Country Club. And where I want to get started is Webb Simpson. So sure enough, Webb Simpson wins by four. Not only does he get a double bogey on the last hole in regulation, but he actually wins by four. He had two double bogeys. He actually had a double bogey on 17 on Friday, and I'll get to that round later. But what are the odds that just last week, I actually happened to mention, for instance, about players that are constantly on my radar as such of players that have had great success and then suddenly start to kind of fade away and disappear. I'd actually said at the top of my list was Martin Kaymer, who was your 2014 Players' Championship and U.S. Open champion at Pinehurst, that he's at the top of my list for a player disappearing. But you know what? I could have just as soon had Webb Simpson, because for him, it was 107 starts and 4.5 years between wins. It was 4.5 years in the making. But what actually turned it around for him is, and this is another reason why I love golf, Tim Clark, a fellow competitor of his, another fellow that struggles mightily, I guess putting conventionally, gave Webb Simpson a tip, and it took about a year in the making, and lo and behold, Webb Simpson then started mastering some putts, and we'll get to his putting stats in just a little bit, but he is your player's champion. And so when Webb Simpson started Sunday's round, he had a 7-shot lead, and everyone at the Golf Channel was convinced that 7 shots is insurmountable, not so fast. If you've ever played that piece of property, that place is riddled like a minefield, and in the blink of an eye, you can make a quick swing and a quick double bogey, hit one in the water like it's nothing, and it would be nothing for Webb Simpson to have gone out on Sunday and shot some kind of a 73 or 74, and somebody else shoot some kind of a 64 or 65, and his 7-shot lead could have been erased, and in fact, it got a little close for a little while. Tiger Woods in particular, as well as Danny Lee, got it to within 4 shots, but instead they could not keep up the momentum, and then Webb Simpson started separating himself and made some clutch birdies, and then from there, the rest is history. But in the meantime, what really propelled Webb Simpson to the win, and here's, get ready, ladies and gentlemen, here's my first shut your mouth of the night. So Webb Simpson shoots a 66 on Thursday in the first round, but he shoots a 63 in the second round. And then again, like I said, that's with a double on 17. But would you believe me if I told you that the 63 shoots on Friday on Mother's Day weekend? Turns out that Friday was his mom's birthday, and she turned 63. Are you kidding me?
Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth. That is absolutely unbelievable. And so, like I told a few other people, evidently that if your mom just turned 80, 85, 90, or again, God bless her if she turns 100, that's wonderful and fantastic. Probably not so good for your golf game. But in the meantime, again, absolutely unbelievable that on her birthday, and he dedicated the win to his mom. Some of you may or may not know that his dad passed away, but his dad did at least get to see him win that U.S. Open. That's on Father's Day weekend. So great memory there, and now he wins on Mother's Day weekend. So congratulations to you, Webb Simpson. He winds up being one of only 9 golfers in the history of golf, in the history of men's professional golf, to have won the Players' Championship and the U.S. Open. But now, something else that winds up happening with his convincing win at the Players' Championship is now he's all of a sudden on the radar for the Ryder Cup. But whoa, whoa, whoa. Before you get excited about him on the Ryder Cup, let me just refresh your memory that Webb Simpson is also the player in the 2012 Ryder Cup that was at Medina with Davis Love as the coach. They coulda, shoulda, woulda won if it hadn't been for Ian Poulter that all of a sudden on the weekend is making putts like crazy. And if you happen to remember it, Webb Simpson has his final match on Sunday against said Ian Poulter. And out of the blue, I want to say it was like on 6 or 7, shanks this thing. And I mean shanks this thing. And immediately Ian Poulter is sitting there going, oh, he might be a little more nervous than I am. And the last thing that you need is give Ian Poulter a little bit more of a reason to have more confidence. And lo and behold, Webb Simpson, sure enough, lose that matches in part of a losing effort for the United States. And then 2 years later, when Webb Simpson has an opportunity to redeem himself, 2014 at Glen Eagles, Tom Watson's the captain. I want to say the very first shot struck by an American is going to be Webb Simpson playing with Bubba Watson. And Webb Simpson, with a 3-wood on the first hole, hits a pop fly, and I mean a good one. Takes a divot right out of the first tee, and lo and behold, guess what? We didn't win that Ryder Cup either. But going back to his performance at the Players' Championship, if you want to be a winner at the Players' Championship, maybe you can emulate a little bit of what Webb Simpson did, because would you believe me if I told you? He was number one in strokes gained putting, number one in strokes gained around the green, number one in front nine scoring, number one in driving accuracy at 82%. And he was also number one in par five scoring. He played the par fives in 13 under par. And so that is a winning formula on how you go ahead and win the Players' Championship. In the meantime, somebody else that didn't win but got in contention, Jason Duffner. Jason Duffner finished tied for fifth at 13 under par, 5 shots off the lead. Jason Duffner evidently must have taken a putting lesson in the Vijay Singh School of Putting, and I think that the guest putting instructors were probably Adam Scott and Lee Westwood. Jason Duffner almost holes out on 16 from 237, and I think he turns around, he three-putts that one, and then he three-putts 18. He misses like this little itty-bitty teeny-tiny putt. Those putts combined, I want to say, cost Jason Duffner about an estimated $770,000. And so, Jason, I hope you get to work on your putting. In the meantime, Tiger Woods, flashes of brilliance from Tiger Woods, shoots a 65 in the third round. That's actually his lowest ever at TPC. And like I said earlier, got it to within 4 shots of the lead at one point. But then he falters on 14 when he spins a wedge off the green, makes a bogey, and then hits it in the water on 17. And he is bound and determined that he's going to tell the world how that was a solid shot. And who knows, it might have been. But in the meantime, with Brooks Koepka having won the U.S. Open, Jordan Spieth having won the British. Justin Thomas, who's now your world number one. Patrick Reed wins the Masters. And now Webb Simpson wins the Players. Here's my next shut your mouth. Would you believe me if I told you that it's the first time since 2001 that all those five tournaments are held by an American player? And the last time that that happened was Tiger Woods, and he had won all the five to himself.
Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth. That is absolutely incredible. So, folks, again, you're listening to Global Golf Radio, and my good buddy Ned Michaels, who's traveling, I want to say he's actually at the Ryan A. Mudd Fifth Major, known and better known as the Byron Nelson. Well, if he was in here in studio, he'd tell you that for the better part of his professional career, had all sorts of injuries, knees, shoulders, hips, neck, back, and whatever it was, every single time, the good people at Elite Sports Medicine Orthopedic Center was able to get him back on the golf course quickly, and they can do the same for you. If you've got any pain that's keeping you off the golf course, by all means, go see Dr. Elrod and all the physicians at Elite. They'll treat you like a tour pro. Give them a call today at 615-324-1600. That's 615-324-1600. With locations in Nashville, Cool Springs, Lebanon, and Green Hills. You can also follow them at eliteorthopedic.com. So, folks, stay with us, because when we come back, we're going to be joined by Brian Jorgensen. He's the head golf professional at Nashville Golf and Athletic, home of next week's web.com event. So, folks, keep it right here on 104.5 The Zone. All right, everyone, welcome back into Global Golf Radio. I'm your host. I'm Barney Aller. I'm the head golf instructor at the Old Hickory Country Club. And then also Global Golf Radio is very, very proud and delighted that we're also sponsored by Franklin American Mortgage Company. And so, folks, if you're shopping for a new home loan or refinancing, look no further than our good friends at Franklin American Mortgage, locally owned for over 20 years by people we know and trust. Franklin American Mortgage is now one of the nation's largest mortgage companies, but they still offer the personalized service you'd expect from your hometown lender. Since 2010, they've been the title sponsor of the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl and have always given back to the community through their investment in youth, college, and professional sports in the Nashville area, as well as numerous local and national charities, as well as next week's State Open, which is going to happen at the Grove, just a little south of Franklin. And so, folks, if you're in the market to buy or refinance a home, call them today at 1-800-295-1020 or visit www.franklinamerican.com to get started. Franklin American Mortgage, it all begins with home. And so, folks, sure enough, if you like watching great golf, there will not be a better week of great golf in Middle Tennessee than what's about to happen this next coming week. As I mentioned, Franklin American Mortgage, congratulations to you for sponsoring the State Open at the Grove. I believe that's going to be on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then all of next week, the web.com comes to Nashville with competition starting on Thursday. And now joining us from Nashville Golf and Athletic is a good friend of mine. He is the head golf professional over there. He is Brian Jorgensen. Brian, welcome into Global Golf Radio.
Hey, Barney. Thanks for having me on.
So how are the preparations coming along? It's been a brutal, brutal winter. And I'd like to think that that the golf course is going to be in as great shape as possible.
You know, it's coming along great. These hot days and what's happened in the last, you know, 7 or 8 days with the heat coming in and getting a little bit of rain and fertilizer helping out a little bit and Mother Nature cooperating, we're going to be in great shape. I was in Knoxville last week for the Knoxville event, and, you know, they were struggling a little bit too, and I think if they had another week or so, 10 days to get a little bit more healthy, I think they would have taken it. And we were fortunate to be a little bit behind them, so we're in a good position. We got all our forces on the ground here, the agronomists from the PGA Tour and a little bit of help, so golf course is going to be great.
I'm confident you're going to have that place looking absolutely beautiful. And so, Brian, now I want to turn our attention to Nashville's favorite son, Mr. Brant Snedeker. And what does it mean to the tournament to have Brant Snedeker involved in this tournament?
Well, I think it's great. You know, Brant, he's a member and a good friend, as you know. I know when he played at Vanderbilt, so it's awesome to have him as part of our family out here and part of the web. He's the only guy on the PGA Tour that stepped up and said, you know, hey, I'm going to put my name on an event, and let's hope more people follow in behind him, because I think he's setting a trend for the future. And it's all about these guys starting out on the Sneds Tour like some of them did, coming through the ranks. You know, he's setting them up for success, definitely web.com and beyond. And it's great that we get to benefit his charity, which is the Snedeker Foundation.
And then You've got another celebrity that's got himself involved, and that is none other than Jake Owen. And I want you to tell us a little bit either his golf game or charities involved with Jake Owen, and what do you expect from him this coming week or next week?
Yeah, I know Jake's putting in the reps. You know, he's taking this thing seriously. He's working out. He's got the sticks working. So, you know, hopefully he's going to bring a great game to Nashville golf. We would love to see him play on the weekend and make the cut. That would probably make every newspaper and every sports center that's known to man since it hasn't been done. I think what Stephon Curry did in his tournament, 75-75, unbelievably respectable for an athlete or a celebrity. I think Jake's got that in him and then some. And yes, Jake Owen Charity is benefiting also, along with Williamson County Schools. And, you know, it's just a winner all the way around.
And also, I'd be curious for people that want to go out and see Jake Owen play. Do you know when they're going to release the tee times? Is that maybe Monday or Tuesday next week? And would someone go to the web.com website directly to see that?
Yep, on Tuesday, they'll release those times, so they can go to ngogolf.com, and the times will be on our website. I'm sure they'll be in the paper, and I'm sure they'll be on the news. So we're expecting a big crowd for Jake's first round on Thursday.
And folks, you're listening to Global Golf Radio. We're joined by Brian Jorgensen. He's the head golf professional in Nashville Golf and Athletic, which is going to host next week's web.com event. And so, Brian, something else I want to ask you, what is there going to be to do for kids and families out at Nashville Golf and Athletic next week?
Yeah, Kids Zone, Bouncy House, all kind of golf games, cornhole, just a lot of fun things for the kids if they want to come out and have a great time. A lot of concession. I call it the steeplechase of golf. If you don't want to watch horses run around the track and you want to watch great guys play golf, have a beverage, enjoy some great food. You know, this is definitely going to be the place to be next week.
And for people that are planning on going over there, is there anything special they need to know as it relates to parking?
Yeah, great question. Parking is at Ravenwood High School. All the money benefits Ravenwood that you pay. I think it's $5 to park, and all that money goes back to Ravenwood. So it's a win-win. You get in a Gray Line bus. Gray Line sponsors the event. You take a Gray Line bus here to Nashville Golf, drop you off. Bus leaves about every 10 minutes, so it's running around the clock, starting at 5:45 on Thursday morning.
And so you mentioned about concessions. Is there any specialty food treats that I can look forward to?
Oh, man, Mrs. Grisham's does this incredible stuffed, I want to think it's like a stuffed sausage or something with cheese. It is out of this world good on a hoagie bun. I mean, I can't wait.
Brian, there's got to be five more yards in each one of those, isn't there?
I mean, five more something. I don't know if it's yards.
If I ate a few of those, I mean, surely to goodness, my tee shot should go a little further, shouldn't it?
I think you chase that with a Bud Light and you're good to go, Barney.
I bet I am. So now I have every reason to believe that the eventual winner is not going to be chasing that with the Bud Light. And so what are you, what do you think the projected winning score might be? I know the weather's going to be a factor, but as we sit here right now, as you're anticipating the course setup, what do you think the spectators can look forward to?
You know, I've played the last couple days intentionally, just to give everybody an idea what I'm seeing and what they're up against. But if we can keep it dry like this, and we don't have any major rain events like we have in years past, this ball is bouncing all over the place. So greens are going to be not as receptive. Balls are going to be bounding off backs, and yardages have to be perfect. You know, I take for example 9. I mean, you get it down there inside of 150, and you just can't hold that green unless you hit a perfect shot. So I think what's happening to the golf course as far as firmness goes, we haven't seen in a long time. So very excited for that ball to be bouncing all over the place.
Okay. And so the winning score, you're thinking maybe 10 under, 12 under, 14 under?
Yeah, I'm going to say 15.
Okay.
These guys are incredible. You know, we saw 262s last year, which I never thought I would see at Nashville Golf. You know, the year before we had a 63, Wesley Bryant.
That's incredible.
And Lanto Griffin, our eventual winner, sh- shot 62 on Saturday last year, so that was pretty awesome.
And so for the folks that want to see some great golf and just maybe get a glimpse at what a 62 and a 63 look like, where can people get tickets?
NGOgolf.com. They can get tickets all day there. They can buy tickets at the event. So you've got two options. You can buy them at the gate also.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining us, and we might catch up with you next week. But in the event that we don't, I hope you have a great week next week.
I appreciate it, Barney. Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. So, folks, that's Brian Jorgensen. He's the head golf professional and a good friend of mine and an all-around good guy. And he's the head golf professional of the Nashville Golf and Athletic. And they are hosting next week's web.com event. And if you get any kind of a chance to go out there, you really should. Now, one guy who's probably not going to play next week's web.com event is my partner in crime, Mr. Ned Michaels. But I will tell you one thing about Ned Michaels. Man, that guy's got some good-looking hair. And, folks, if you want good-looking hair, all you got to do is go to Uncle Classic Barbershop. They have locations at Bellmead, Brentwood, Cool Springs, Hillwood, and Nolansville. You can also book online 24/7 at www.uncleclassicbarbershop.com. So if you want good-looking hair like Ned Michaels, go visit them. It is Ned Michaels Barbershop. And so now, folks, you're going to want to keep it right here on Global Golf Radio and 104.5 The Zone, because joining us in just a little bit is going to be one of the competitors at next week's web.com and Nashville Golf and Athletic. That is Lipscomb's very own Dawson Armstrong. He comes next. All right, everyone, welcome back into Global Golf Radio. I'm your host. I'm Barney Aller. I'm the head golf instructor at the Old Hickory Country Club. And then also, we're also very proud that Global Golf Radio is also brought to you by Hers and His. And Hers and His care very much about the safety of their customers. And for that, they also have lettered vehicles and uniformed plumbers. You can find them at Hers and His. They can take care of all of your heating and air and plumbing needs. And again, did anyone notice that here lately, in the blink of an eye, again, it got warm? So again, if you're having any trouble with your air conditioning or anything to that effect, again, contact Hers and His. Like I said, they can take care of all of your heating and air and plumbing needs. You can also give them a call at 615-254-5750. That's 615-254-5750. You can also find them at www.hersandhis.com. And how much confidence does Ned Michaels have in Hers and His? He sent it to his mother-in-law. He sent it to a neighbor. Ladies and gentlemen, that's confidence. That's Hers and His. And now, joining us now is a young man that I have a lot of confidence in myself. He is Dawson Armstrong, played his golf at Lipscomb University, and has just now recently turned pro, and he joins us. Dawson, welcome into Global Golf Radio.
Barney, good to hear you.
I know, good to hear you too. So Dawson and I consider Dawson a very, very good friend. And ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, he's a super nice guy. And so Dawson, you've had a wonderfully successful career at Lipscomb, but here in the last month, I'm willing to say that you've probably played some of the best golf in your life, and then you've made the decision to turn pro. Can you tell us how you came about that decision?
Whew. Yeah, absolutely. So it was really a matter of how our team did collectively and if we would get into regionals or not. So I didn't know what my plans would be until basically right when the NCAA college selection show was, I think two and a half weeks ago. And, you know, once I found that out, I had had long talks with my coach, with my assistant coach, my now agent, and I got the same answer from all of them. And they said, Dawson, you've already been to nationals. You know, you wouldn't have the same experience going there by yourself. You need to go and venture on this new path. And, you know, if you did go and you did go to nationals, the only way it would really help you is if you would win. Mm-hmm. And the possibility of playing professional golf and winning on that next stage could possibly be even more profitable for me than it would be if I were to stay in AM.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and then from there, but actually, so we're going to get back to your win that I think was about 10 days ago in Knoxville. But before that, you also let the entire world, you left a clear message with the entire world where I want to say that it took place in Florida, and you go ahead and shoot 11 under, and I think you were still an amateur, and not only get your Canadian Tour card, but you win the qualifier. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was really, I'd like to say that was the turning point in my senior year, and you know, the beginning of what I would say is the is some of the best golf I've ever played. Really, I went down there, and the tournament before, I was out there not enjoying myself, kind of putting too much stress on myself for the team, like really, really just having too large of a burden on myself to really play good golf. And you know, once I decided, you know what, enjoy this, enjoy playing the last semester you can, I took a little about five days off, and then I went down to Jacksonville and played. And I went down there with no expectations whatsoever, especially knowing that I've never seen any of these guys before, or at least in the recent history. And, you know, I go down there with no expectations but to enjoy what I'm doing, enjoy the possibility of having a place to play for all of summer on a professional circuit. And I went down there and played really well. And, you know, having that win be the product of my mindset going into it, it was really relieving, and it was a sign that, you know, this, what I'm doing actually proves to be good. And so I just kept on, you know, enjoying myself on the golf course. And that was really what propelled me for the rest of the semester.
Well, Dawson, knowing you, at least the way that I do, I perceive you as enjoying yourself every singular minute of the day. Now you might enjoy yourself even more than even I can imagine, but I perceive you as enjoying yourself every minute of the day. And then fast forward a week or so later, which would have been a week or two from now, and you turn around in a swing thought tour event in Knoxville at Three Ridges. And evidently, you must have really enjoyed yourself that time as you shoot an easy breezy 22 under and win your first event as a professional.
Yes, sir.
Well, and tell us about that.
Whew, that was, well, as you know, the Swing Thought Tour really follows the Web.com Tour. And the Swing Thought Tour really is for players that don't end up playing on the Web.com Tour event because they're not able to Monday qualify. So my first ever real tournament was the Swing Thought Tour as a professional, but I tried to qualify for the Knoxville Web.com event, and I shot 69, and apparently you have to be really good because 64 went into a playoff. Mm-hmm. A guy that shot 64 didn't even make it. Mm-hmm. So I ended up deciding, okay, a guy that you know well, Stoney, he was staying with me at a house of a teammate of mine, and he said, "Dawson, I'm playing in this Swing Thought Tour event. You know, it costs a little bit of money, but you know, the prize could be, you know, 10 times what you pay." And I said, "Okay, that's a tough decision," because I had never really understood the idea of paying that much money to play in something, especially since my original goal to go to Knoxville was to, you know, to qualify for the Web.com event. I call my dad. He says, "Dawson, you're now playing for money. You're not out there to play amateur golf. You're out there to find a way to make cash and find a way to support yourself." I said, "That's fine. I'm going to play." I go out there and still with the same mindset of just enjoying myself, even if it's on the next level of competition. I go out there. I say, "Okay, I'm going to enjoy this." And I go out. Yeah, I shoot 22 under. It was the first three rounds that I played. I think I told my dad and my teacher this. It was the best three rounds in a row of ball striking that I've ever had. Not necessarily of putting, but of ball striking, it was the best I've ever had. And really, really those first three rounds were what set me in the right position to go out and win the final day.
And folks, you're listening to Global Golf Radio, and joining us is Dawson Armstrong, who just now completed his education at Lipscomb University. And now you're going to take that great ball striking and your wonderful attitude to a golf course you're extraordinarily familiar with, as you have a sponsor's exemption, are going to get to play in next week's Web.com event at Nashville Golf and Athletic. And I want you to share with us, what about that golf course, you know, suits your strengths?
Well, really, I just know the golf course so well. I've played there the last, really, 5 years of my life. And you know, on a daily or weekly basis. And, you know, that golf course is really one that you have to trust in order to play well. You have to trust where you're hitting shots, and you have to trust what you're, you have to trust not what your eyes see, but what your experience tells you. And Nashville Golf is a very, it's a very tricky golf course. It was designed for a U.S. Open, really. And, you know, they're working their way up. They've done a great job with it. I really feel like my game fits that place because I can drive the ball very well, and I do a very good job of managing my score. And Nashville Golf really rewards someone who hits fairways and finds ways to get it in the hole. So that is what I would say would be the best parts of my game that suit that golf course.
Well, Dawson, we can't thank you enough here for joining us here on Global Golf Radio. I'm going to wish you the absolute best of luck at next week's web.com event in Nashville Golf and Athletic.
Thank you, Barney. I really appreciate it.
My friend, you keep striking it well, keep putting like you do, and keep smiling with your beautiful attitude, and everything will be just great. So best of luck.
Yes, sir. You got it. Thank you.
So, folks, that's Dawson Armstrong. And out here at Global Golf Radio, we always try to keep our eyes open for who's coming up next. Who might be the next Brant Snedeker? And ladies and gentlemen, that young man, he just might well be at the top of the list. And we're going to wish him the best of luck at next week's web.com event. And so, folks, Global Golf Radio is also brought to you by Visit Mississippi. And so if you're planning a golf getaway, no better place to go than Visit Mississippi. In fact, Ned Michaels, Bob Mueller, and myself last year, actually right on Mother's Day weekend, we enjoyed getting to play Mossy Oak and Old Waverly in particular, but there are so many other golf courses beyond that, such as Fallen Oak, Dancing Rabbit, and so many more. So folks, if you're planning a golf getaway this summer, why don't you go ahead and play where myself, Ned Michaels, and Bob Mueller like to play, and that's in Mississippi. And speaking of Visit Mississippi, we're going to have Craig Ray, who's the director of tourism for Mississippi. He's going to come up next, and he's going to tell us how this decision by the Supreme Court just might positively affect the state of Mississippi. So, folks, keep it right here. You're listening to Global Golf Radio on 104.5 The Zone. All right, everyone. We're standing on AT&T out here at Global Golf Radio. I'm Barney Allery. I'm your host. I'm the head golf instructor at the Old Hickory Country Club. And folks, if you want to be a part of the show, you can give us a call at 615-737-1045. And as always, thanks so much to my partner in crime here this evening, Mr. Ryan A. Mudd. He's the man behind the glass, and I can't thank you enough for everything you do. I know good and well that sometimes he presses the right button at the right time, but we appreciate everything that you do. So folks, in the meantime, there is a very, very terrible and disturbing story that comes out concerning Lucas Glover. And concerning Lucas Glover's wife, they come to find out that while the tournament was taking place out there at the TPC Sawgrass in Jacksonville, well, evidently it's revealed that it seems as though that his wife has a drinking problem. And it also seems as though that on, I want to say it was on Saturday, that seemed as though she'd been drinking all day. And evidently he did not play, quite honestly, to her satisfaction. And it seems as though that when, and all this, all police report, and you can go find it all for yourself, but it seems then as though when he got home, that she more or less starts, I'll put it very politely, and she's not, among other things, she's calling him a loser, and then other things that aren't anywhere near that nice. And then, evidently, then something escalated, and I also want to say that his mother might have been visiting as well. And then, lo and behold, suddenly it seems as though there's an altercation that takes place that involves Lucas Glover's wife and himself and his mom. And then it seems as though Lucas Glover and Lucas Glover's mom, on Mother's Day weekend of all things, that both of them had abrasions and so forth. And I also want to say that also when she'd been drinking, that she would threaten him, and if he didn't play to her satisfaction, I guess, or whatever level she perceives that he needed to be playing at, that then she'd say something like, "We're going to leave you, and I'm going to take the kids," and on and on and on. And so, folks, that is not the kind of story that you ever want to hear. But it's also another thing too, that, for instance, again, going back to last week, when I'd rattled off like a list of about 15 or 20 players that seemed as though maybe their better years were behind them and seemed as though they were fading away. And easily I could have included Lucas Glover on that list as well. And then it never ceases to amaze me when someone has the audacity, for instance, to come up and say something along the lines of, well, with that kind of a grip or that kind of a swing or that kind of a putting stance or this and that and the other, when the reality is we just don't know what might be happening and taking place behind closed doors. And so, lo and behold, we only see them coming through our television screen. But again, when they're not, in private moments, we don't know what's happening. And so I can tell you, for instance, in Sergio Garcia, that when he had a slump about 10 or 12 years ago, I kept telling this to a bunch of people. He was heartbroken. He was dating, actually, at the time, he was dating Greg Norman's daughter. And by all accounts, she is gorgeous. He had brought her to a Ryder Cup. I forget which Ryder Cup. And this is going back when Tiger Woods was married. And Tiger Woods' wife, well, she's rather attractive herself. And told to me by a friend that was in the room, she was not the most attractive woman in the room. And everyone, when Sergio walks in with Greg Norman's daughter, that no one knew who she was at the time. Everyone's like, who is that? And come to find out, it was Greg Norman's daughter. And they broke up. And Sergio was lost for about a year. And so, again, another situation had absolutely nothing to do with his golf swing. Instead, it was more, again, personal things. And, of course, as the players get older and then they start having children and stuff, you never know. And so, again, like, I'm the father of two kids. And as a matter of fact, very proud, an incredible achievement that my oldest one is graduating tomorrow. And for some of you, boy, that was easy. Not for him. I'm here to tell you, there was a lot of work, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that took place for my oldest son to graduate tomorrow. But sure enough, you never know with some of these players that one of them might be struggling in school, might have an issue at school, might have an issue with a teacher or another coach or something like that. And again, inevitably, it shows up in their golf score, and then they struggle. But anyhow, Lucas Glover, we're praying for you. Hope for the best. Of course, the police got involved. I want to say that there's going to be some kind of an arraignment or something to that effect on June 22nd, I believe. And we hope that for everyone involved, everything gets much, 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 much better. Now, speaking of things getting better, the Supreme Court, ladies and gentlemen, hey, overnight, the Supreme Court opens the door for legalized sports betting. And again, in this situation, everyone's going to get a shot at money, 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 money. And so evidently, if there's a shot at money, well, it must be good. But I'm here to tell you, maybe not so fast on all the good that's going to happen there. Because from my perspective, here is my absolute biggest fear. Take, for instance, Patrick Reed, who wins the Masters. And by all accounts, everyone that was there told me that no one that was there wanted to see Patrick Reed win. Now, there's a chance that they were hoping for a playoff with Ricky Fowler. And again, we've already forgotten that if Jordan Spieth makes one more putt and Patrick Reed misses one more putt, we've got a three-way playoff between Patrick Reed, Ricky Fowler, and Jordan Spieth, and how incredible that would have been. But what if now, with what the Supreme Court has decided, that then opens the door, that all of a sudden someone that is either betting against Patrick Reed or, let's say, in favor of Ricky Fowler, if, let's say, a guy's got $100, $1,000, maybe more than $1,000, and right in the middle of Patrick Reed pulling the putter away from the ball, getting ready to hit the putt on the last hole, what's to stop a guy from shouting something, trying to distract Patrick Reed? That is my absolute worst fear. And if you're sitting there going, Barney, that never happened. Really? Does anyone remember Justin Thomas at the Honda Classic? That I want to say it was when he walks off 16 green to get to 17 tee, and out of nowhere is this guy that's heckling him, that keeps berating him with something along the likes of, hey, I hope you hit in the water. There's water over there. There's going to be water there on the next hole. Hope you hit in the water. Why don't you go ahead and hit that thing in the water? And Justin Thomas is going to block this guy off. and just nails this long iron dead straight. And now immediately when the guy sees the trajectory, he realizes it's not going in the water. So instead, he changed his tune to go in the sand, go in the sand, go in the sand. And finally, Justin Thomas has had enough of this guy that he turns around security and says, who said that? And finally, pal, you're done. Your day is over with. You're done. So now, what's to stop a few knuckleheads that just might have had one beer too many, and but not only that, that then might have a wager or a bet of either an insignificant amount or maybe a significant amount to try to step in and alter the outcome of the event? That is my biggest fear with what the Supreme Court just decided on.
There's a lot of organized crime with betting too.
Yes.
I mean, what you're talking about, that's exactly what can happen. I mean, someone can be at the game and do DraftKings and have a, they don't care. I mean, it already happens now with NFL football, with fantasy football. People will tweet the football player about a fantasy football game and they don't even care about the game. It's going to get worse if it's legal, if it's going to be legal gambling.
No, so again, that's it. It's another one of those situations. And so for anyone that follows the show, we have another segment. Barney was right, Barney was wrong. Here's another one that I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But the reality is I can see that coming, and it's not going to surprise me, and it's going to disappoint me greatly. That at least in a football game, it's one team versus the other. It's the home team versus another. But in a situation like that, and then if, like, let's say that you can put a bet on if the guy's going to make or miss that putt, if the guy's going to hit or miss that fairway, if the guy's going to make a par or a birdie or whatever. And again, in that frozen moment, that the guy, like I said, he might alter the course of the tournament. Because, for instance, as Dawson Armstrong just pointed out, another young man that I have the pleasure of teaching is Stoney Crouch. And so Stoney's a year older than Dawson, and I would love nothing better than have both these two young men play great and represent Nashville in a way that Brant Snedeker has. And I know good and well that the work that they have both put in to try to play at the level that they are and are hoping to continue to improve, and to have some drunken knucklehead that's got $100 on the outcome of this to try to interfere is something I hope I never see. So again, in that situation, I hope I'm wrong. But in the meantime, did anyone happen to see last night on the Golf Channel the World Long Drive? Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you missed it, you missed a remarkable show. Because once again, would you believe me if I told you, in the ladies' division, Sandra Carlborg, I'm sure she can't pronounce my last name either, but anyhow, she hit a drive of 351 yards. 351 yards. That's amazing. Except that she lost. Because Phyllis Mehdi, she hit a drive, and ladies and gentlemen, I can't make this up, she hit a drive of 380 yards. Now, by all accounts, unless I eat some Brian Jorgensen sausages there at Nashville Golf and Athletic next week, I got a feeling that my days of hitting 351-yard drives are long gone. Unless I'm going to bounce this thing off a highway or something to that effect, my days hitting a 351 are over, which means my days hitting one 380. Well, those days have never even happened. As I sit here, I don't even know if I've ever hit one 351, let alone 380. I cannot imagine hitting a drive 351 and having to congratulate my competitor because she outdrove me by 29. And then, in case you missed the men's division, Paul Howell, a huge individual. In the words of my brother-in-law, if this guy ever breaks a bone, it's gonna hurt. This guy hits a drive 413. That sounds awesome. Amazing. Guess what? Hate to tell you, Paul, you are 8 yards short. Because Will Hoge hit one 421. And just in case, if anyone doesn't know, Will Hoge actually played baseball for Austin Peay. Will Hoge's actually a native of Memphis, Tennessee, and played baseball. I know. And he needs to show me how to hit a drive 421 because I'd love to do it. First, he'd have to get me to hit it 351. But 421, that is something special. Ladies and gentlemen, these players fascinate me. Clubhead speed, right around 147, 148. In the words of another friend of mine, their clubhead speed is faster than my ball speed. And so that's what happens at 147 miles an hour when you have a collision with a dimpled sphere, and that ball goes a long, long way. So, folks, thank you so much for joining us here on Global Golf Radio. Have a great week and make all the plans you can to go to the State Open at the Grove on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, as well as then the web.com at Nashville Golf and Athletic. Folks, have a great week. We'll see you next week.